Radio Prague News. Czech Civic Democrat Pavel Blažek is to be appointed Justice Minister on Tuesday. The former Prague High State Prosecutor Vlastimil Rampula and his deputy Libor Grigarek have resigned as state attorneys. And the opposition Social Democrats have called for the dismissal of Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek. President Václav Klaus is to appoint Civic Democrat Deputy Leader Pavel Blažek to the post of Justice Minister on Tuesday. Mr. Blažek will replace Jiří Pospíšil, whom the Prime Minister unexpectedly sacked last week, criticizing him for poor financial management and procrastinating on tough decisions. However, many have speculated that the decision was actually meant to block the imminent appointment of a highly respected prosecutor and anti-corruption crusader to the post of Prague High State Attorney. The former Prague High State Prosecutor Vlastimil Rampula and his long-standing deputy Libor Grigarek have resigned as state attorneys. Mr. Rampula was forced to leave the High State Attorney's office in Prague after a court upheld former Justice Minister Jiří Pospíšil's decision to sack him. Vlastimil Rampula was removed on suspicion that he was helping to sweep big corruption cases involving politicians under the carpet. The opposition Social Democrats have called for the dismissal of Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek, whom they accuse of botching the government's fiscal reform, being responsible for the problems with EU funding and most recently trying to influence the investigation into the overpriced purchase of Spanish military caza planes. Party leader Bohuslav Sobotka said on Monday that the finance minister had become a serious liability and urged the prime minister to act with the same speed with which he had earlier dismissed the justice minister for alleged poor financial management. The opposition argues that the finance minister paints painful fiscal cure in the form of VAT hikes is clearly not working, since the state deficit in the first half of this year is at the same level as last year and the country is clearly not going to meet its fiscal targets. All three participants in the multi-billion crown tender for the expansion of the Temelín nuclear power plant have submitted their bids to the Czech power giant ČEZ. The bidders are the US-based Westinghouse, Francis Areva, and a Czech-Russian consortium. The bidders have all promised the lion's share of the work to Czech companies. ČEZ will be assessing the bids for most of the second half of the year and is expected to announce the winner in the course of 2013. The third and fourth units of the Temelín nuclear power plant are to be completed by 2025. Meteorologists have issued a severe storm warning for most parts of the country, valid from late Monday to early Tuesday. A belt of heavy rain is expected to pass over the country west to east, bringing hail, storms, high winds and, in some areas, persistent rain that could swell smaller rivers. The warning includes a call for people to secure their windows and garden furniture. Heavy storms in the region of Karlovy Vary on Monday night caused electricity fallouts and disrupted road and rail traffic for hours. Maintenance workers were out all night and for most of the morning removing fallen trees from rail tracks and roads. I'm Daniela Lazarová and that's the end of the news.
Hello, you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Jan Richter. In today's program, the 47th Karlovy Vary International Film Festival gets underway. Then we have the latest sports news, including the successful Czech showing at the European Track and Field Championships. And later in one-on-one, we meet the head of Czech Center in Berlin, Monika Štěpánová. That and more coming up, so please stay with us. The 47th Karlovy Vary International Film Festival kicked off in the West Bohemian Spa town on Friday. At the opening ceremony, the British actress Helen Mirren was honored for her contribution to world cinema. The festival, which this year again features a Czech film in the main competition, will conclude next Sunday with the handing out of the Crystal Globe Awards. Radio Prague's former reporter Ian Willoughby is at the festival and we asked him for an account of the happenings so far.
Well, the biggest event so far has naturally been Friday night's opening, when the special guest was Dame Helen Mirren, the British actress who's perhaps best known, I would say, for playing the Queen in the film of the same title 5 years ago, which won her an Oscar. She received the Karlovy Vary Crystal Globe Award for Outstanding Artistic Contribution to World Cinema, And the opening film on Friday was called Good Vibrations. It's about Northern Ireland's music scene during the Troubles. And the directors of that film were in attendance. Also who was there was the musician, the well-known musician and DJ David Holmes, who produced that movie. And of course, Carlo Vivari is also a big social event for what you might call the Czech elite. So the opening had lots of VIPs like the Czech president, Václav Klaus, and other politicians, and a huge number of wealthy business people.
You mentioned Dame Helen Mirren. Who else can visitors expect to see on the red carpet at Carlo Vivari this year?
Well, apart from Helen Mirren, the biggest star is without doubt the American actress Susan Sarandon. She's coming at the end of the festival next weekend. She's best known, I'm sure listeners will know her, from the film Thelma and Louise from the start of the 1990s. Otherwise, the guests that are coming are Todd Solondz, who is an American indie director who made Happiness, Welcome to the Dollhouse. He's here in a couple of days with his new movie called Dark Horse. And one director who's already here is the great Hungarian filmmaker István Szabó, and he's already presented his latest movie called The Door, starring Helen Mirren.
Hmm. Well, what particular films should viewers watch out for?
Well, it's hard to say. There are so many of them. There are, in fact, over 200, and nearly two dozen of those are world premieres. As every year, the festival puts a lot of emphasis on its East of the West section, which presents films from Eastern Europe that viewers wouldn't otherwise get much of a chance to see. It's kind of their flagship section and has been for many years. One film that many people are talking about is The Hunt by the Danish director Thomas Vinterberg. It's about what happens when a man is falsely accused of abusing a small child. This one I've seen myself and it's absolutely brilliant. Otherwise, a lot of people here are looking forward to Polsky film, which is actually a Czech movie. It's the only Czech movie in the official competition, and it features several well-known Czech actors playing themselves in a kind of mockumentary-style film.
I understand that also some classic Czech films are being screened.
Yes, for instance, they're showing Hoši Má Panenka, The Fireman's Ball by Miloš Forman, which is one of the all-time great Czech films. It's been digitally restored, and that's something that the Karlovy Vary Festival's been doing in recent years. They started last year with the screening of a restored version of the classic Markéta Lazarová. Also this year, there's a tribute to the Czech actor Josef Sommer in the form of a screening of The Joke, which is an excellent 1969 Czech film based on the famous Milan Kundera novel of the same title.
I was talking there to Ian Willoughby. And now Dominik Jun has the roundup of the latest Czech sports news.
...22-year-old Czech tennis player Petra Kvitová is set to take on Italian number 24 seed Francesca Schiavone at the Wimbledon Championships on Monday afternoon. The number 4 seed and defending champion will be facing a player in the fourth round who defeated fellow compatriot Klára Zakopalová 6-love 6-4 in the third round and also knocked out Czech Kristina Plíšková in the second round 6-4 6-4. Kvitová raised eyebrows with her previous 53-minute 6-1 6-love victory over American Varvara Lepchenko in the third round. Her match against French Open champion Schiavone, however, is expected to pose a greater challenge, although the Czech holds a 2-1 head-to-head advantage over her rival in matches this season. The opening of a transfer window in the US and Canadian Joint National Hockey League, or NHL, sees 9 Czech players with their contracts expiring. One of these, defenseman Filip Kuba, has already signed up and is set to leave the Canadian team Ottawa Senators and return instead to the Florida Panthers for a 2-year contract for a reported $8 million, having previously joined the team through an NHL entry draft program back in 1995. The 35-year-old remained with the Panthers for 4 years before he joined Ottawa. During his career, he has also played for teams such as the Houston Aeros and Tampa Bay Lightning. He also led the Czech national side to gold in the 2001 World Ice Hockey Championships. And staying with ice hockey, the Czech Extraliga team HC Sparta Praha and HC Lev have entered into a joint business arrangement to form Sportovní Holding Praha, a company that enables them to exchange players and share facilities. HC Lev is a Czech member of the Continental Hockey League, or KHL, which contains members from Russia and Eastern Europe and is widely considered to be the second strongest hockey league after the NHL. According to a press release about the formation of the holding group, the move was undertaken to create a synergy between both clubs, to train new players and to remain attractive to fans and business partners. HC Sparta Praha last won the Extraliga in the 2006-07 season, while HC Lev was founded only this year, although it existed in a previous form as Lev Hradec Králové. The 2012 European Athletics Championships, held this year in Helsinki, concluded on Sunday with the Czech Republic coming in seventh in terms of the total medal count. Germany were the overall winners with 6 golds and 16 medals, while the Czech Republic won 3 golds, 1 silver and 1 bronze with a total medal count of 5. The Czechs won gold in the men's 400 metres with Pavel Maslák finishing in just over 45 seconds, while Vítězslav Veselý won gold in the men's javelin with a throw of 83.72 metres and Jiřina Ptáčníková won gold in the women's pole vault. Other Czech medals came in the fields of women's hurdles and the women's relay. The competition is a vital precursor ahead of the Olympics, which will be held in London from July the 27th till the 12th of August. Barbora Špotáková, a former javelin-throwing Olympic gold medalist, is expected to be one of several major Czech hopes at the tournament. In total, 130 Czech contenders are heading to the Games. And staying with the Olympics, the Czech women's basketball team has qualified for the Olympics, beating Japan 53-47 at a match in Ankara, Turkey. Players Kateřina Elhotová, Eva Vítečková, Ilona Burgová and Petra Kulichová brought the score to 13-0 after a mere 4 minutes. The Czechs remained ahead until near the end of the match, with the Japanese then rapidly closing the gap. However, the Czech team managed to scrape through. Previously, the women's basketball team reached the quarterfinals in both the Athens 2004 and Peking 2008 Olympic Games.
Thank you, Dominik Yoon, for that. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Coming up next in this edition of One on One, Sara Borůvka talks to the head of Czech Center in Berlin, Monika Štěpánová.
Since January 2012, the Czech Center in Berlin has a new director, Monika Štěpánová, who previously headed the Czech Center in Bucharest and is a passionate supporter of documentary filmmaking. This year also brings some other important changes for the center. In the fall, it will reopen its gates in a different location. The new premises are in the building of Berlin's Czech Embassy. It was just a few weeks after the death of late President Václav Havel shook the entire Czech nation that Monika Štěpánová started her new position. How did she experience this emotional event? That was the first question I put to her on a recent visit to Berlin.
As you say, it was a very sad moment, and at the time I was actually in Prague because I was getting ready for my position here in Berlin. But since I came in January, it's actually the strongest event that marked. It's the strongest emotional event that I was confronted with in culture, in politics, and this was also one of. Well, it's a logical reason actually that we plan a program that is dedicated to Václav Havel and that will go through, I would say, at least 1 or 2 years.
Great, that sounds interesting. And you have now been in office some 6 months. How do you experience the work at the Czech Center?
It has been a very intense 6 months, I have to say. And it has been a big change for me personally and also regarding the work, the kind of work that is in the cultural business, if I call it like that. Compared to Bucharest or to Prague. I would say I still have the feeling of being just on the start.
And how do you experience, A, the Czech community in Berlin, and then B, the interest of Berliners and German people in Czech culture?
The period of the first 6 months was kind of special because I am still preparing the moving of the Czech center. So that means we didn't do so many events here in our premises. And also the connection to the scene, to the Czech scene here, was more or less through the events that were organized with someone else. So in my opinion, there are different Czech scenes in Berlin. There is one, I would say, traditional one, or one of the more historical one that is based on the immigrants and people who spent here, I would say, the last 20, 30 years. But there is a very vivid young scene of people that are here since 1, 2, 3, 4 years. And they are involved in many really interesting alternative underground, but also very official and big things that happen in Berlin. But not as Czechs, but just as personalities, as creative individuals. And we just started to meet these people and to connect and to see what can we do with them, what could be the connecting point for the new Czech center, as we call it, from September on, when we have better premises.
That's exciting. And I believe that one focus of your cultural work is also documentary filmmaking. Maybe you could explain why you think that is a good way of presenting culture, of maybe mediating culture, and if you have at all plans to also show Czech documentaries in Berlin.
Well, documentaries have been one of the main focuses in Bucharest, and I really developed a personal relationship to documentary movie making, and for sure I will continue with that in Berlin. And I think what Berlin really appreciates, or the public in Berlin, is a certain kind of authenticity, and that's why documentary movie, I think, can be a very good tool here to communicate with public and to present what we want to present, which is contemporary life in the Czech Republic. We have to see how good the new premises will be technically, if we can really present documentary movies in such a good quality that we can do it really in our space with discussions. That would be actually my goal.
You already mentioned you have, before you worked here, you worked in the Czech Center in Bucharest. What was your period there like, and how is it different from such a big center as the one in Berlin?
Bucharest is not such a small center either, compared to the people, to the number of staff that we have there. Of course, the historical background and the most social problems or social situation is completely different from Berlin. So the 5 years were absolutely fascinating. I grew to be a huge friend of Romanian people and of Romania. At the beginning, of course, when I went there, I was a little bit skeptical, just because I didn't know enough, and also there were not many personal relations that I would have before. But these were really built up very quickly, and until now I'm really fascinated by the creativity of people, by their modesty, and also the fact that they have to face such strong opposition in everything they want to do and to try, and that there's basically almost no support from any institutions. I'm talking about creative people and culture, of course, which is the field I'm working in. This makes them to find completely unexpected solutions. This makes their creativity to grow, and the results are very often very unexpected and very inspiring, I would say. So I was very happy in Bucharest, and it was quite hard to go back.
That's, I guess, the nicest possible thing you could say about a job you have left, that it was a hard job to leave. And I also believe that you brought the One World Festival to Romania, and that it is now a part of the cultural landscape in that city. Maybe you can talk a bit about how that idea originated.
I really found a big need for documentary movies, because they were, at the time I was there, they were not screened in any cinema. They were not screened on the TV, and the Romanian TV didn't have even production money or any really anything dedicated to documentary movies. So we started to screen documentary movies every Monday or second Monday in the Czech Center, and we had a huge audience. We had very often so many people that we basically had to close the door because we couldn't fit the people in. We started with Czech documents, and by the logic of the thing, we decided to bring international documents, cooperating with the other culture institutes, or very often just talking with the filmmakers and saying, we have this program, because basically, of course, we were screening Czech documents, but the program was very intense, so we had spots, we had possibility to screen also other documents, and the resonance was really impressive. When there was the 10 years anniversary of One World in Prague, we got together with Igor Blažević, Teresa Porybna and Helenka Zajicová, and thought we should make One World on Tour in Bucharest and make it quite big. And as we didn't have any really extra budget for that, and the One World Prague helped us with screening rights for the movies, which is already quite a big help. We made a poll for volunteers in the Czech Center, and I organized actually a team based completely on volunteers to organize a first festival already quite professionally. So already from the first year we had three cinemas, we had a Czech Center for special screenings. We basically set up the structure. And it was a very interesting situation of volunteers, people that studied mostly political sciences and philosophy that we had at the first year, and to do really everything, just learning by doing, all of us. But the festival turned out really well. We found sponsors, we found good supporters, all the embassies, all the cultural institutes went in, because at the time there was no similar project in Romania going on. And so we managed, and some of the people that were there at the first year as volunteers are now, they finished their studies, they are working with the festival, they are very dedicated to documentary movies. And the people that started helping at the first year kind of took over, and now my successor in the Czech Center in Bucharest, René Kubášek, is doing the Czech part of the festival, and also he's kind of managing it, but the main organization is based now or is in hands of One World Romania.
And as far as the budget is concerned, how does is the One World Romania financed?
One World Romania is, as I said, organized by the association One World Romania, but with a big support of the Czech Center in Romania, and there is also a very important support from the side of the Czech embassy, from the ambassador Jiří Šitler, who is now in Romania and who also has a big history in human rights, and he is very helpful too.
And now let's go from Romania back to Germany. I believe you studied in Bonn. Maybe you could talk a bit about how you, as a Czech, discovered your love or your interest for the German language, which I guess isn't given if you're Czech.
Actually, it just came by itself. When I came to Germany, first I was living in a family and taking care of kids, as most of the girls do, for some short time. And then I started studying at the university in Bonn. And it was a big challenge, really, to speak a good German and to be compared to the German students. At the time, there were no Erasmus programs for Czech Republic. There were no, there was not really funding, so I had really to be registered and competing with the German students, and that made it for me even more interesting. And I always had very strong interest for literature, for German literature, and languages generally were between my hobbies.
And now, after 6 months of working in Berlin and working kind of with Germans, and getting to know the cultural sphere a bit more closely, what was the biggest surprise, would you say? Or was there anything that you said, oh wow, I didn't know that this is how things are done in Germany in this particular area of business?
As I said, Germany is very, or at least that was my impression so far, very institutionalized. So you have many institutions, they have funding, they have concept, they have people that are leading it. It's very professional. And there is a certain career in the culture which is something that in Czech Republic is just starting, in Romania it's non-existing. So this is I was expecting and seeing it, but I'm kind of surprised how the alternative scene and the underground scene works. So while you have on one side everything very set up and very defined, on the other hand you have a really basic structures that do the alternative culture, people that just decide, you know, let's take this space that is abandoned or there's nothing going on, and they just start doing things, make their own productions, and it's very dynamic. This scene is very dynamic, and I think this is what really makes Berlin so special.
And lastly, looking forward, what are your hopes for your time here at the Czech Center, and what is maybe a goal you have set for yourself?
It's always quite dangerous to speak about goals and about things to when you just start. I mean, I have a big wish, which is to make the new center a real center where people meet and where Czech artists and people who are based in Berlin like going and like meeting their friends and like meeting their German public. So my goal is to make a one really lively, if you want to call so, popular space in Berlin that works on a very professional level.
Monika Stepanova, the director of Czech Center in Berlin, was Sara Borufka's guest in that edition of One on One. We are now rounding up our regular weekday program with our popular miniseries ABC of Czech.
Hello and welcome to the ABC of Czech, in which this season we discuss words and expressions related to Czech food and cuisine. Earlier this year, we looked at some food-related idioms, and I promised you second helpings. So today, with the assistance of
Zuzana Durčáková,
we'll be looking at some other Czech sayings connected with food. If someone is very choosy about their food and likes all the best things, we can say he or she is
Mlsný,
finicky, picky about one's food. We can say such a person has
Mlsný jazyček,
a finicky little tongue. We can even say
Chlupatý jazyček,
a hairy little tongue. If someone is very picky indeed, we say the person is
Mlsný jako koza,
picky as a goat. Are goats really choosy? Please let me know if you think it's true. If you're hungry or looking forward to a meal to the extent that your mouth is watering, you can say
Zbíhají se mi sliny.
Literally, my saliva is running together. If you want to describe in an expressive way that you really enjoyed your meal, you can say
Dělali se mi boule za ušima.
Bumps grew behind my ears. Don't ask me where that saying comes from, but it's still alive and widely used. Maybe it's to say that you chewed too eagerly, which brings us to another idiom. If you are looking for a bite to eat, preferably something yummy, you can say you are looking for
něco na zub,
something for the tooth. Our wise ancestors came up with an educational saying to prepare young brides for what married life is all about, and that is
láska prochází žaludkem.
The way to the heart is through the stomach. When the initial billing and cooing is over, in Czech
cukrování,
literally sugaring, we need to find other things to sweeten up our life with.
Osladit si život.
And that's all for today. Thanks for listening. Until next time.
Dobrou chuť.
Bon appétit.
That edition of ABC of Czech was the final part of our English language program today. We, as always, love to hear from you, so if you have any comments or questions, do get in touch. You can write us a letter to Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague 2, the Czech Republic, or send an email to english@radio.cz. But for now, for myself, Jan Richter, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for joining us, and goodbye.